The Doug Wright Show. Doug scores big time interviews on Utah's most important stories on KSL News Radio.
Yeah, I've alluded to this throughout the morning, and I wanted to flesh it out just a little bit, that Utah did not get very good numbers, let's put it that way, when it comes to legislative integrity. Now, it's a little bit of a misnomer, and so, you know, it's always, you know you're in trouble when you start justifying a D-minus grade. You know something needs to perhaps be addressed. But this is the headline. It's USA Today. Utah gets D-minus grade in 2015 state integrity investigation. And so we are going to be chatting about that. We hopefully will be talking with some of our legislative leaders a little later on. We tried to call several, including President Niederhauser, and I think we put in a phone call to our Speaker of the House as well, and we have not heard back from them or had a definitive answer. We also tried to call Brian King. He's the minority leader on Capitol Hill in the House, and he was unable to join us. But we're hoping Rebecca Chavez-Hauck will be able to join us. We're working on that right now. But I'm very pleased that BYU professor Joel Campbell, who participated in this study, is joining us on the line. And Professor, welcome. Thank you for being part of the program today.
Thanks, Doug, for having me on. Appreciate it.
As I mentioned a little earlier, whenever you're trying to do a tap dance and make a D-minus grade look good, you know there's something wrong. But that does put us, ironically, right in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, I guess it's sad to say that Utah ranks 25th even overall, and we actually come in fairly well and strong on a few categories, even though that, you know, C-minus on an open government grandma law, even then we're still second in the nation with a C-minus. So it's nothing to brag about on some particular areas.
Now, if I'm reading everything correctly, overall we have no state that gets into anything above a C or a C-plus. Is that correct?
I think that's correct, yes. I mean, there are certainly some areas where there are several states, including Utah, get an A on several, single factors, but not overall. And I think this group has set some really high standards, and I guess it's optimistic that maybe we can lift the standards in the United States for these different areas.
Yeah, as you mentioned, we did get an A in budget process, and I think we have a couple of Bs in internal auditing and procurement and things of that nature, but there are some places where we do not fare quite so well. But at least we're not down there with Wyoming, Nevada, Oregon, South Dakota, Kansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Maine, and Delaware, by the way, who all got an F.
Yeah, if you do talk to Senator Niederhauser or the Speaker, Greg Hughes, I think that they have done a great job with the state budget process. I think Utah is a shining example of how to be transparent, open with a line item. You can go on and see any line item in our state budget. I think that's an enviable position. And procurement's really pretty good. I think the only thing that really we were knocked down on a little bit was because of some of the people who are doing procurement may not have to disclose as much. And again, these folks are giving you some pretty high standards. And John Dougal and the other auditors that we have both in the legislature and in the state government are doing great jobs. I think that those are really good, solid grades. There are some things, though, that we should look at. I know you talked about the F grades.
Yeah, we do have a couple of those F grades here. By the way, I've kind of teased this all morning, and I probably ought to do the reveal here. Only three states in the entire union were above a D, and that was California, Alaska, and Connecticut. Before we talk about some specificity here, as far as is this just something that with lay legislators? And I know this morning Brian and Amanda were talking with one of our friends from ABC that said, you know, we'll have, for example, a car dealer who is sitting in a legislature, not just here in the state of Utah. We have quite a few people in our state who have banking interests in their day job and who are up there sometimes legislating on banking issues. As long as we have a lay legislature, aren't we going to have issues in some of these arenas?
I think we will, but I think where it came down to it was we actually looked at the law. I had a chance to look at both the law and the practice, And in legislative accountability, for example, we got a D+. What does that mean? It means that we have some pretty big loopholes in my mind. For example, if you're working for what the term of a lobbyist is, for example, says a lobbyist is someone who works for a lobbying firm. We have lots of legislators who will come up right after they leave office and lobby for their own business. Underneath these standards, that would not be disallowed. And I know I've already had lots of disagreements with my legislative friends, folks that are lawmakers that say, well, that's how it has to be. But I still think there could be, at least from my point of view, and what these standards seem to suggest, is that there could be more disclosure and perhaps a revolving door law that involves everyone, not just those that are working for official lobbying, organizations. So there is some, and there's also our conflict of interest forms are pretty weak because compared to other states, the kind of conflicts of interest and how much specificity they have in them is pretty weak compared to other states. We have to declare a conflict of interest, and you're perfectly aware, I'm sure, that people can stand up on the House floor or the Senate floor and say, I have a conflict, and go right ahead and vote, and that's not a problem, but it's the disclosure, I think, is where this particular study showed weakness.
I was not there on this particular day, but and I won't give names and specifics, but there was an issue that was of huge importance to the state of Utah. And I understood, and maybe you could corroborate whether this happened or not, that somebody that was actually on the committee actually excused himself from the committee to go down and sit in a witness chair and testify to the committee that he was participating in. This had something to do with nuclear energy in the state of, or the potential of nuclear energy. Can something like that actually happen?
Yeah, and as I talk to some of the lawmaker friends, and you talk to leadership, they actually think our citizen legislature having that kind of conflict is actually a strength because we have somebody from the insurance industry or the real estate industry. So you can take that whatever way you want to, but a lot of people feel, at least in our legislature, that because you're working every day in the insurance industry, that your involvement actually brings strength to the bill, to the bill writing process, and to the legislative process. Now, certainly this particular group, the Center for Public Integrity, their standards would see that differently. But
yeah.
I know that our lawmakers like to say that a lot, that this is a strength, that we have a citizen legislature with lots of varied interests, and no, we shouldn't reject them. We should involve them.
What about the lopsided nature of the political clout in the state of Utah? And the argument can be made, and for years Joe Cannon used to joke about this. There are three political parties in the state of Utah, and I'm the head of two of them. And, of course, he was the head of the GOP.
Exactly.
And I think if that was the case then, I think it's even more the case now.
And I've been observing the legislature for many years, and gratefully I was asked to do this investigation for Utah. And I'm just going to say that I think that sometimes the supermajority in our legislature and also in the political area, I'm just going to give the example of Medicaid expansion and redistricting. I'm frustrated as a citizen of this state that somehow we view those very public discussions as just party politics. They're just inside baseball, and that we're not allowed to see or witness or be part of those until after the party has put them together. But the fact is that I think that the kind of the one-party control does, in effect, hurt the sunshine, the transparency, if you will, of those kinds of things. And also accompanying that is this attitude that it really doesn't matter where our legislators, what their conflicts are, and also that we have no holds barred on political spending. We can spend as much as you want. We're one of six states that has no campaign finance limits.
Yeah. I know on Governor Huntsman's Commission for Strengthening Utah's Democracy, boy, that came up over and over. You know, campaign contributions, being more open, having a much more open process. And I think, boy, this Medicaid expansion has really kind of been the poster child of some of that.
Yeah, I guess I will disagree with some of my the folks I consider friends in the House, but I really do think it's to a point where, you know, really need to get out of a party caucus and have the public involved. And I think it's sad that if we do have this kind of grip on power, that the transparency is lacking. And so I said in my article that it's redistricting, Republican Senate caucuses or now House caucuses, secretive Medicaid expansion. And, you know, all of those are viewed as kind of party business, but really they're the public's business, because those decisions that are being made inside caucuses and these areas are going to affect the final decision. And I, you know, if anybody knows me, knows that I believe that the sunlight ought to be there much earlier.
Boy, absolutely. And I thought this was interesting as I was reading that Utah gets only a C-minus a category grade for access to information, but, and I like the way this is worded, stunningly, that grade actually ranked Utah tied for second in the entire nation. So I guess before we beat ourselves up, we need to remind ourselves that in the grand scheme of things, we're right in the middle of the pack, and in some areas, we're actually excelling even with a fairly low grade.
Yeah, and I think that we learned a lot from the House Bill 477. I'm sure you remember that.
Oh, yes.
Whole debate about grandma. And, you know, we had a whole process we went through, and I think lawmakers and citizens and other people learned about that. And I think that we have improved the law and at least kept it where it was. You know, and again, this sets a very high bar, and the fact that we're second in the nation with only a C-minus, shows that this group thinks there ought to be a lot more openness and a lot more, protections in these laws. But I think that we can at least pat ourselves on the back that we survived that process and have come away with a pretty good law.
Professor, I really appreciate a conversation that we've had. Thank you so much for joining
us,
and we'll look forward to chatting again.
All right, thanks so much.
Professor Joel Campbell, BYU professor who worked so hard on this study. And again, you know, you look at some of the results and it gives you a heart attack, but remember, it put Utah right in the middle of the pack, and in some areas, we fared fairly well.